Good morning. Today's daf in Ksuvos is Lamed Gimel. We're on the very bottom of Lamed Beis Amud Beis, and we're picking up from where we left off yesterday. I'm pretending like we did daf yesterday. Yesterday was Tisha B'Av. We didn't do the daf yesterday, but let's say we did. Or at least I'm going to assume, of course, that we did. Okay. But regardless, yesterday's daf brought down a basic fundamental machlokus between Ul and Rav Yochanan. What happens when you have an impasse between Malkus and Mammon? You do an act, and that warrants that it's going to warrant both a punishment of Malkus and Mammon, so which one of the two is going to be imposed? Okay, so this is a derivative of the discussion of Kim Leib Derabim Mineh. So when it comes to Kim Leib Derabim Mineh, so that we have unbelievable clarity, in which we're going to give the harsher of the two. Beis Din will only be able to give the harsher of the two. So when it's a clear, definitive harsher of the two, so then we have nothing to talk about. Let's say, for example, Misan Mammon. So the death penalty and money. Okay, so there, okay, you could try to argue. There's no point in trying to. In other words, Misa obviously is going to be a harsher punishment. And so therefore, it's going to be Misa. It's not going to be Mammon. Good. And that's what we've been discussing now since the beginning of this parak. Meaning this parak is really the discussion regarding Kim Leib Derabim Mineh. And so therefore, we know that of the two, so Misa is going to be harsher, and therefore, it's going to be Misa, and it's not going to be Mammon. That we know that we've already established. But when it comes to Malkus and Mammon, so now it's a toss-up, meaning which one's harsher? In other words, they're both punishments. They're both of them, you're still going to be around after the punishment has been issued. So what would you rather do? Endure a little bit of pain or give up money? Okay, so and yesh v'yesh, meaning, in other words, if we polled around, so, you know, people are, you know, different people. Right, it reminds me the drasha we're going to see in Sanhedrin, right? Right, the bechol avavcha, bechol nafshecha. Right, some people love a kadosh baruch hu with their nefesh more than with a mammon. Some people love their kadosh baruch hu with a mammon more than with their nefesh. Okay, it happens to be over there. It's nefesh and not just malchus, but okay, regardless. Okay, sorry, I brought that up. Anyway, the point is that when it comes to malchus and mammon, so it's a toss up. But here's what we could definitely say, and that is that we know that Mishum Rishachas Ata Mechaivo V'Ata Mechaivo Shtei Rishayos. Yeah, but Beis Din can't give two punishments. So over here, when we don't know which one of is the harsher of the two, and Beis Din can't give two punishments, and now what? So now what's Beis Din going to do? So under those circumstances, we had yesterday in the Gemara a really fundamental machlokas between Ula and Rav Yochanan. Ula says that it's going to be Mammon, not Malkus. Rav Yochanan says, no, it's going to be Malkus and not Mammon. And so, and that's what we are continuing. We're continuing along the lines of this basic, very fundamental machlokas between Ula and Rav Yochanan, that when a person is chayav both Malkus and Mammon, so which of the two is Beis Din going to have to elect? Is Beis Din going to elect Mammon? That's Ula. Or is Beis Din going to elect Malkus? And that is Rav Yochanan. Now, as much as they argued over the course of yesterday's daf, here's what we know. And that is that there are two cases where they are absolutely in agreement with one another, because the Torah says so. One case that they're in absolute agreement to is chavala. If I damage another person, I injure another person. So number one, there's an isser that I'm not allowed to injure another person, which comes with a malchus. And on top of that, there's also mammon. So what do I do in that circumstances? There's nothing to deliberate. There, it's mammon. So what Ula will tell you is that tells me the rule. Rav Yochanan tells me that that's an exception to the rule. Okay, this is all yesterday's daf. This is just a quick recap of yesterday's daf. What's the second example where once again we know what to do in the toss up, and that's going to be Edom Zomimim. So by Edom Zomimim, so once again, there's Malkus and Mammon in the case of Mammon. Meaning when the Edom Zomimim are conspiring to that somebody should lose money. And then what we do to the Edom is Vasitzim Lo Kasher Zomim Lasos Achiv, and they themselves are going to lose money. They themselves are going to have to pay. So under those circumstances, so what do we say? So we say Mammon, not Malkus. So once again, according to Ula, so that is the rule. According to Rav Yochanan, that's the exception. Okay. That is all but a quick recap of yesterday's daf. What do I do in the case of Mammon and Malkus when there's both? So Ula says it's always going to be Mammon, and Rav Yochanan says it's always going to be Malkus, with two notable exceptions. So with that statement,
Ula says that even if you give a score of Malkus,
yeah, you're correct. Correct. In other words, right. Ula will tell you that fundamentally it's going to be Mammon, not Malkus. So with that stated, so now the Gemara is still continuing in this discussion between Rav Yochanan and Ula. Rav Yochanan. So we are now picking it up on the very bottom of Lamed Beis Amed Beis. Rav Yochanan Maitama Lomar Keula. So why is Rav Yochanan not holding like Keula? So Imke Betalta Ervas Achocha Lo Segala. Because what Rav Yochanan will counter is very simple, and that is that you violate lav in the Torah. So what normally comes with a lav in the Torah? Malkus. And as Rashi points out over here, it's right, the last Rashi on this Amud, and that is that the very definition of a lav is that you're going to get malkus. Now, as Tosus points out over here, there are lavim in the Torah where you're not going to get malkus, a lav shem bov maisa, and a lav hanitak lase. So it's true that there are some malkus in the Torah, some lav in the Torah you're not going to get malkus for, but fundamentally speaking, so the lav in the Torah is really defined by the malkus that you get. And now what? Rav Yochanan says, I don't understand. So you violate a lav in the Torah and you're not going to get malkus? It can't be. In other words, that's just simply built into the fabric, into the nature of a lav that you're going to get malkus. And as we turn to the top of Lama Gimel Amid Aleph, so Chova b'chaver namim kim b'talta lo Yosef ben Yosef. So the Gemara says, okay, Rav Yochanan, wonderful. So I love that argument. In fact, I love that argument so much. So why don't we say the same thing by Chavala, right? So I injure another person. So again, I'm subject to Malkus and I'm subject to Mammon. So why don't you go ahead and invoke that same argument? Okay, so now, what are you going to do? You're not going to give him Malkus? Meaning, of course, you're going to give him Malkus. But meanwhile, as we established already in yesterday's daf, this is one of the exceptions, right? When it comes to injuring another person, you're going to have to pay and you're not going to get Malkus. According to you, Rav Yochanan, why not? So, Adam Zomim and Nami. Im came Bitaltavayam bin Hakosa Rasha. So the Gemara says, and while we're on the topic, don't let your foot off the gas here. Just keep going. Adam Zomim. So Adam Zomim, that's alive in the Torah. Torah says not to conspire, not to falsely testify about another person. And now what? Now, according to you, Rav Yochanan, so even though the conspiracy is a monetary conspiracy, and now you agree, meaning again, this goes back to yesterday's daf, everybody agrees that by Inim Zomimim, they pay and they don't get Malkus, well, but why not? Why not get Malkus? Again, if you're violating a law, and the very definition of a law is that you should be getting Malkus, so you should be getting Malkus. So the Gemara says, Ela Inim Zomimim, Efshel Likuma, Ben Begush, Ben Chalutza. So the Gemara says, well, look, by Adam Zomimim, you know we're not going to lose the Malkus altogether. Meaning there are going to be cases in Adam Zomim where you're going to get Malkus. Notably, when it's Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. First Mishnah in Malkus. First Mishnah Malkus says that there are going to be occasions where Adam Zomim you can't do Vasisim Lo Kasher Zomim Lasos Achiv. Okay, there's a number of examples, but the first two examples in that Mishnah over there is that, let's say, that our Adam falsely testify about a person that he is a product of Ben Grusha. Right? Mom's a Grusha. In other words, everyone thinks he's a Kohen. He's not. He's a Chalal. And now what do I do to the Adam Zomimim? So can I go ahead now and reflexively, Kasher Zomim Lasos Achiv, can we now rebound and take that ownership and apply it to them? I don't know. In other words, what if they're not Kohanim? And even if they are, whatever. The discussion over there in the beginning of that first Mishnah. But anyway, you can't do it. You can't do Kasher Zamim. So, what did the Mishnah teach us? The first Mishnah of Malkus, so you know what you do then? Malkus. So you give Malkus. So what Rav Yochanan says is that we haven't lost the Malkus by Edom Zomimim. And Chova B'chaveru Namika, L'kiyum HaKagon Shikawa Kashim Boshav HaPruta. And as we already said in yesterday's daf, but let's just reiterate to this point, and even when it comes to Chavala, when it comes to damages. So the, right, and I say damages over here, I really mean injury. When it comes to injury, when you injure another person, there are going to be cases where you're going to get Malkus. Notably, when you hit somebody and the monetary damages does not even arrive at the point of a Shava Pruta. So now, Mamnus goes away. When Mamnus goes away, so you know what's there? Malkus. So now you have Malkus to look forward to. So we really haven't lost Malkus when it comes to Edom Zomimim, nor in the case of Chaval as well. So Achosanami, Kalikuma, Achosa Bulgaris. So the, but the Gemara says, okay, so I could say the same thing regarding a choscha. Meaning, what was the argument of Rav Yochanan? Why didn't Rav Yochanan subscribe to Ula? Rav Yochanan subscribe to Ula because a man's with his sister. He's not going to get Malkus. The Gemara says, I don't know, he can get Malkus. Meaning, there are going to be cases when there's no money. So, for example, where she's a Bogeris. And we'll also have to add, a Bogeris, and also it's not Ones, it's Mefuta. Again, going back to yesterday's daf. Okay. So what comes out over here is the following, is that for Rav Yochanan, the Gemara's question is, why doesn't Rav Yochanan like Ula? Why doesn't he subscribe to Ula? Ula says that when there are two punishments of Malkus and Mammon, so Ula says Mammon, not Malkus. And Rav Yochanan's counter argument is, nah, it's got to be Malkus. Why? Because what are you going to do? You're going to have a lav without Malkus? What's a lav without Malkus? Meaning that's the very definition of a lav. And now what the Gemara is counter arguing is, you haven't lost a lav. You haven't lost it by Chavala. You haven't lost it by Edom Zomim. And you haven't lost it by Achoscha as well. Meaning there are going to be cases in all three of those Yisurim where there's going to be Malkus. So, to the question now, we're resetting the question. Why doesn't Rav Yochanan subscribe to Ula? Good. So let's give an answer. So Amlecha Rav Yochanan Haitachas Asher Ina Mibay Lelechada Baye. So the Gemara says is that Rav Yochanan will tell you the following. Tachas Asher Ina. The kenas that you're going to be paying is going to be Tachas Asher Ina because you afflicted her. So, and that teaches me Abaye's Halacha. Damer Abaye Amakar Tachas Asher Ina Haitachas Asher Ina Mechlal Deika Boshes Pagam. So that comes to teach me that over there there's Boshes Pagam, meaning that it's a drasha. We have a specific drasha, a special drasha that tells me that when it comes to ones, and for that matter, mefata, so the kenas penalty is going to be tachas asher ina, which means that on top of that, there's also going to be monetary payments in addition to that. So that tells me now that when it comes to ones, so we have a drasha that tells me that's going to be mammon, but specific to that particular iser, meaning that generally speaking, the default position is going to be that it's going to be Malkus. Ula nafkalam de Rava. Now, Ula will tell you that I agree with that halacha, but I agree with that halacha from the position of Rava. Dama Rava, amakra, v'nasa na'ish ha'shochei v'imah, la'avi anara chamishim kesef. And so he pays the father 50 shkalim. In other words, the kenas. But over here, what are we focusing on? Hanashchiva chamishim. So in other words, the chamishim, the kenas, is going to be for the hanashchiva. Meaning, but of course, there's an assortment of other payments that you have to pay. Mechlal deika boshes pagam. But on top of that, there's also going to be boshes pagam. Now, boshes pagam over here just is highlighting some of the payments that you have to make. There's also tsar, right? Sheves ripui, probably not. But in other words, but the point is that there are other payments that have to be made. But the point is that Ula also arrives at this conclusion, but not from the pasuk of Tachas Hashirina. He learns it out from V'nasa Nisha Shochev Ima. Okay, for Hanashchiva. Okay, so where are we right now? So in the Gemara, Lama Gimel Amud Aleph, so the back and forth between Ula and Rav Yochanan. Let's quickly recap now what we've seen. So far what we've seen is that we have a basic machlokas over the course of yesterday's daf, going now into today's daf regarding Ula and Rav Yochanan, that in the event that you have Malkus and Mammon, so which of the two now are going to be imposed? Is it going to be the Mammon or is it going to be the Malkus? So, and what we have over here is a very basic machlokus between the Amoraim. Rav Yochanan will tell you that it's going to be the Malkus, not the Mammon, and Ula will say no, it's going to be the Mammon, not the Malkus. There are two cases in the Torah where we're in agreement. No, there's nothing to argue. Meaning the Torah says the Beferish, and that is that when it comes to Chavala, and when it comes to Edom Zomimim, so there it's going to be Mammon, not Malkus. Okay? And so now what Ula will tell you is that teaches me the Klal. And what Rav Yochanan will tell you is that the Yotzei Min HaKlal, those are the exceptions. And then the continued back and forth, which we've covered now, almost to the middle of Lama Gimel Amud Aleph, and that is that what is Rav Yochanan, what is Rav Yochanan going to be doing with the Psukim that are cited by Ula? Okay. Rebbe Elazar Omer. Okay, so we are now on Lama Gimel Amud Aleph. We're a third of the way down. And now our discussion was that Edom Zomimim and Chavala are going to be both examples where there are two onshim of Mammon and Malkus, and you're not going to get Malkus. And why are you not going to get Malkus? So when it comes to Chavala, we have a pasuk. And what about Edom Zomimim? Why are you not going to get Malkus when it comes to Edom Zomimim? So here, the Gemara is going to try on a new svara in terms of why you're not going to get Malkus when it comes to Edom Zomimim. So, Rebbe Elazar Omer, Edom Zomimim, Mamona Meshamim, Milka Lolake. So, Rebbe Elazar says, I'm going to propose the following. When it comes to Edom Zomimim, so the reason why you're going to have to pay and not get Malkus is Mishum Dala B'nei Hasra Ninu. It's because there's no Hasra. There's no warning. Okay, now, here's what we know. In order for Beis Din to impose any kind of punishment whatsoever, there has to be Asra. In the absence of Asra, so Beis Din cannot punish. Now, when it comes to Mammon, so Mammon, on one hand, you could call it a punishment, but it's not really a punishment. So what mammon is compensatory. And so therefore, you don't need a warning in order to have to pay mammon. Mammon is compensatory. Now, it does get a little bit tricky over here, because when we talk about mammon in the context of Edom Zomimim, it's a little bit challenging to call it compensatory, right? Think about it. Every time we talk about Edom Zomimim, what are we describing? In other words, we are describing where Edom are saying that this person owes that person money, right? He's obligated to pay that person money. And they were lying. So did they really cause a loss?
No.
The answer, of course, is no. In fact, we caught him. And by the way, Tosfos points this out in Baba Kama, and even if we caught him after the money was paid, the money can always be returned. Right. So when it comes to money, so no financial loss was really created. So I understand it's a little bit challenging that mammon, when it comes to Edom Zomimim, to call it compensatory is a little bit strange. It's a little bit more under the category of onish than it is compensation. But for our purposes right now, we're focusing just on Hasra. And what do we know when it comes to Hasra? So we know that Beis Din cannot give any kind of corporal punishment. Not Misa, not Malkus. Beis Din cannot do that unless Hasra was issued. So what Rebbe Elazar is now going to offer as an argument is the following. Do you know why Edom Zomimim are not going to get Malkus? Because it's absent Hasra. Now, why is it absent Hasra? So here we get to, I have a particular affinity to this Gemara, because the Gemara is really going to try to work it through why Edom Zomimim does not have Hasra. The Gemara will start off with a technical discussion, and then the Gemara will move on to a more fundamental discussion. So first we start with the technical discussion. So, Delabnei Hasra Neinu, Amar Avate Da Nasri Buhemas. So, Rav is going to start off with the technical aspects of it. Meaning, let's make sure that we have this Gemara really well in terms of what is happening over here. Rebbe Elazar makes the statement. He makes the pronouncement, there is no Hasra when it comes to Edom Zomimim. That's the announcement. That's the pronouncement. And now, an explanation. Why? Why is there no Hasra? So Rav's approach over here is it's a technical issue. Meaning, it's a timing issue. When are you going to give Hasra to the Edom Zomimim? Meaning, right now, remember, only retrospectively do we know they're Edom Zomimim. But prospectively, going forward, we don't know. So when are you going to warn them? Hey, don't be Neid Zomim. Don't be Neid Zomim. So now, Amos. So how about this? How about at the beginning of the court session, right? Well before they testify. So everyone sits around and the basin says to the Edom, hey, you know you're not allowed to lie, right? Do you know that? Okay, good. Okay, can you remember that 5 minutes from now, 10 minutes from now, an hour from now? Okay, remember, you're not allowed to lie. So the Gemara says, Amri Ishtalin. So the Gemara says, okay, but what they could do an hour later is that they're going to lie and they're going to say, we forgot. Now, we forgot that we're not allowed to lie. Now, I know that's a little bit funny, by the way, we forgot. But keep in mind, this is a Hasra'a issue. Meaning that in order for Hasra to be a valid Hasra'a, it has to be given immediately before the violation of the crime. In other words, and if there's given at any point in time, so even though chances are they're not going to forget, but it just simply doesn't qualify as Hasra. It's just simply built into the requirements, the system of Hasra, it has to be issued immediately before they testify. And Nasru B'Bishas Maisa Parsha V'la Masadeh. So the Gemara says, okay, so how about this? How about right before they testify? So we say, hold on 1 second. You're ready to testify? Okay. We're issuing you now a warning that if you lie under oath, so I'm sorry. That was very American of me. But if you lie, so you're gonna get punished. So and you do it right before they testify. So the Gemara says, okay. So you know what's gonna happen? You're not gonna get testimony. So then, parshi v'la masadeh. So even if they're prepared to tell the truth, but you're gonna scare them to death, and they're not gonna testify. And so Nasra Bulabisov, so the Gemara says, okay, so now what? So now we can't testify them well in advance. You can't testify them immediately before. You can't warn them. Sorry. You can't warn them ahead of time. You can't warn them immediately before. Oh, so how about this? How about we warn them immediately afterwards? So my Dahavahava, the Gemara says, okay, but that's not Hasra. Hasra has to be done beforehand. So So that was Rava trying to defend Rebbe Elazar's comment, and Rebbe Elazar says that that there's no Hasra because technically, when are you going to do it? Abaye says, really, that's a technical issue. It's not a technical issue. So Abaye Venesrebu Betochi De Dibor. I got a great idea, and that is that why don't you give them the masorah immediately afterwards, toch kedei dibor, and do it immediately after they finish testifying. Now, we know, once you submit testimony, afterwards. So once you submit testimony, kevin shehigit shuvein chozer magid, so you can't recant. That's true after a significant pause. But here's what you're allowed to do. You can recant immediately afterwards. In other words, betol kedei dibor, you have the right to edit everything that you say. So, in other words, then you have a short window of opportunity, but that's what's called toch kedei dibor. Toch kedei dibor. Now, Rabbeinu Tam, right? We just covered this over the summer, so it's Rabbeinu Tam in Adarim. Anyway, Rabbeinu Tam says that toch kedei dibor gives you editing rights on anything that you say within a couple of seconds of when you said it. So over here, if you warn them immediately after they submit their testimony, they can go ahead and recant on their testimony immediately afterwards. So why don't you do that? And another question the Gemara says is that, look, I'm not buying this technical business. In other words, you can't warn them ahead of time. Sure, you can warn them ahead of time. And what you're going to do is that, look, you and I are going to have a sign together, okay? So I'm issuing you a warning now. And every time I take my finger and put it on my nose, that's going to be a reminder. I know it's silly, but it's going to be a reminder that I warned you that you're not allowed to lie. And as they're testifying right now, so you put your finger on your nose and reminding them now that they're warned. In other words, that you're not allowed to testify. You're not allowed to falsely testify. So Hadar Abaye. So Lav Milzi Yidamri. So Abaye says, okay. So scratch all of the above, meaning that over here, the hasra that is not given to the Edim Zomim, it's not a technical issue. You know what it is? It's a fundamental issue. Why? Why is it fundamental? That Edim Zomim has to be without hasra. So Isa Gadatra, now I understand that this argument that we're about to give is going to be a real brain teaser, and I'm going to say it way too quickly, and we're going to move on too quickly. But if you have the ability, so pause, think about it. In other words, really devote like a lot of mental energy to this, because it really turns into a fundamental point, and that is the following. So, because let's imagine for a moment that there is a hasra requirement, and technically speaking, it can be done. So, you know what the problem now is? Is that for Edom Zomimim, it's not right. It's not right that they should be getting hasra. Why not? Because ki lo masrinim behulo katlina lehu, meaning that if there's a hasra requirement, that means that without hasra, we're not going to kill them. Well, that's not right. Why is that not right? So, consider the following. Okay? What are these Edom Zomim coming to do? What are they trying to do? They're trying to kill somebody. Okay? And in the case where the trumped up charges are something that is subject to Misa Bidei Adam, execution. Okay? They're trying to kill somebody. Now, question. Did they warn the person before they tried to kill him? No. They came into court, they told the story. Yeah, you know that guy over there? He committed murder. We saw it, right? We saw him, we saw murder, we saw the murder weapon, et cetera, et cetera. So now they're testifying about this person, and they're looking to kill somebody without warning. Now, what does the Torah say? The Torah says that what we're going to do to them is what they conspire to do to the defendant. Ah, so in other words, they try to kill somebody without warning. So what does the Torah say? You kill them without warning. Meaning, once there's a requirement of warning when it comes to Edom Zomim, we have now lost the entire system of Vasisim Lo Kasher Zamam Lasos Lachiv. How can you kill them with warning and only with warning when their intention was to kill somebody without warning? Therefore, the only way that you can put them to death is only without warning in order to satisfy the requirement of Vasisim Lo Kasher Zamam Lasos Lachiv. That is Abaye's argument, that really what we're looking at over here is fundamental. Fundamentally speaking, Edom Zomim has to be without Hasra.
Even with Edom Zomim, you wouldn't kill someone without Hasra.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand.
If people come and testify that someone murdered someone, if there was no Hasra, you don't put them to death.
Yes, but in other words, but it's all part of their story. In other words, everything they're saying is concocted. Correct.
The punishment wouldn't be meted out without hasra.
But right. But in other words, but there was no hasra. In other words, they made up everything they're saying is fabricated.
It wouldn't be kasher zamam because if there was no hasra, if they didn't
They said there was Asra. In other words, of course. In other words, right. Beis Din is not going to go through with it unless they said there was Asra. But in actuality, there was no Asra. Right. So now what I'm, what, now if the Torah says they're going to do to them what they wanted to do to others, so what they wanted to do is kill them without a warning. I know they said there was a warning, but there was no warning. Ah, okay. So Maskev Laref Sama Breder of Yirmiyah, Lamiata Ben Grusha Ben Chalusa Delo, Mechashir Zamam, Kamis Rabbi Leba Asra. So the Gemara says, fascinating. So in other words, so Adim Zomimim, the reason why there's no Asra is because of this requirement of Kasher Zamam. Well, you know, there are a couple of cases of Adim Zomimim where we're going to punish them, not via Kasher Zamam. Again, we go back to that first Mishnah Makos. The first Mishnah Makos where the Adim come and say, he's a Ben Grusha, he's a Ben Chalutza. So what does the first Mishnah Makos teach us? Well, there, you can't do Kasher Zamam. So what do? Makos. Okay. And so the Adim Zomimim are going to receive Makos. Makos will be instead of Kasher Zamam. But the Makos is learned from a different Pasuk. Ah, so there, that case of Adim Zomimim. So there should be Hasra. Meaning the only reason why I subtract Hasra from Adim Zomimim is because we need Kasher Zamam. But in the few cases of Adim Zomimim where we're not learning it out from Kasher Zamam, so there should be a requirement of Hasra. So the Gemara says, "Dolam echasher zam comes rabbi libasra." So Amar Kra Mishpadachad Yelachem Mishpadashav Kolchem. So the Gemara's answer is, "Okay, the point is good, but it's not going to, but it's not going to move me. Why? Because when we have mishpat, whenever we have a justice system, so it has to be uniform. Mishpat Echa Yelachem. So and there has to be uniformity. And once we've established a rule, and how do we establish a rule? We base it on most of the cases. Most of the cases that Adim Zomim are going to be without Asra. So even for the few cases where you're right, I can argue there should be Asra. Yeah, but since we have found that most of the cases of Adim Zomim is sans Asra, every case of Adim Zomim is going to be sans Asra. Okay.
When they want to make somebody Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, they didn't give him an Asra. There's no Asra.
Good. That, so
do it for him. Without a sword, you do it for yourself.
Right, but in other words, but the halach of Malkus in that case is not generated from Kasher Zamam. There it's Hayam bin Hakos Arasha. It's a different pasuk. Okay, anyway. Okay, so, once again, where are we right now? So, still same discussion as yesterday. In a toss-up of Mammon and Malkus, so which one is going to be issued? Is it going to be the Mammon or is it going to be Malkus? Ula says Mammon, Rav Yochanan says Malkus. But there are two cases in which they agree. Chavala and Adim Zomimim. Chavala and Adim Zomimim, it's going to be Mammon and not Malkus for both of them. Now, how do I know that? So that's what the Gemara has been litigating now between yesterday and today's daf. When it comes to Adim Zomimim, so we tried on a couple of Svaras. We just went through the Rebbe Lazar argument of, well, there's no Asra, that's why there's no Malkus. And then a follow-up discussion of why is there no Asra when it comes to Adim Zomimim? Either it's a technical issue or it's a more fundamental issue. Okay. Now we're going to go back to Chavala. And now let's learn a little bit more regarding Chavala. How do I know that by Chavala it's Mammon, not Malkus? Again, this is something where everybody agrees. You injure somebody and now you're on the hook for both receiving Malkus because hitting somebody is an Isser. And on top of that, you have to pay. In other words, that's the compensatory payments that you make for the damages that you inflicted on another person. And there, Mammon, not Malkus. How do I know that? So here the Gemara now is going to be also trying on a different Svara. Yesterday we went through one drasha. Today we're going to go through a different one. So let's start again. Rav Shisha Breder of Idi Amar Chova Bechaverin Mammon HaMashal Mechol Olake Mehacha. So the idea that you're going to pay money and not receive makas comes from the following vichinatsuanachim v'nagfuishara v'yatsu yiladeha. So once again, we return back to those couple psukim that are found in Parshas Mishpatim, describing the following: two people are fighting; it's a serious fight. They're looking to kill each other, and they're exchanging really heavy blows. And then a woman gets in the middle. Okay, and if you would like to make it a little bit more dramatic, maybe she's a wife of one of the two. Torah's not particularly clear about that. It doesn't matter. Anyway, and she gets in the middle and she gets hit. So unintentionally, one of the men who's looking to hit the other man hits a woman. And on top of that, she's also pregnant as well. The reason why the Torah illustrates such a bizarre case is because the Torah wants to make multiple points over here regarding the various liabilities that exist vis-a-vis her, vis-a-vis the fetus that was aborted. So that's why it's such an unusual case. Anyway, so they're exchanging blows, and she gets hit, incidentally, unintentionally. And now what? So now what is that the Torah says? Im lo yason anoshi anesh. Let me just first, I'm first going over the basic halachas that we all know, but let's just say it outside. That if, let's say, she doesn't die, in other words, she was hit and sustained injury, and by the way, that injury that she sustained is the aborted fetus. And remember, we touched on this, by the way. In other words, the blow that leads to a miscarriage. So that's not an act of murder. Not because the Torah prohibits abortion. The Torah does prohibit abortion, but in other words, it's not an act of murder. Okay, what exactly it is? Not for our discussion. An important discussion, obviously, but not our discussion. Anyway, and so what as far as the Torah is concerned, so what are we looking at over here? This is injury. And therefore, what does injury require? It requires money, monetary compensation. So im lo yason, if she doesn't die, and the only thing that happens is that she suffers a miscarriage, so then anoshi anesh, then there's monetary payment. And im yason, and if she dies, so v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh. I'm not quoting the pasuk word for word. I'm just giving you the highlights of what the halachas are. And that is that now you killed her, so now you committed murder. Now you're going to be put to death. Okay. Those are the psukim. Now on that, so the Gemara says, okay, let's set it up a little bit better. Okay, I gave you the basics. The Gemara says, now let's set it up even a little bit better. So, v'chiyin Rabbi Lazar. On this, Rabbi Lazar starts off with the following assumption. We're going to be making two assumptions. Number one, the matzus shebemisa kasa medaber. What kind of fight are they having over here? They're not slapping each other, right? It's not one of those NBA fights. So the sorry if you understood the reference, great, and if not, okay, it's fine. So the but in other words, they're really looking to kill each other. Okay, so it's that serious. And b'matzus shebemisa kasa medaber dechsivim ason yevin asata nefesh achas nefesh. Now I know that because in the event that he kills her, so he's going to be put to death. Oh. So in other words, you're only put to death when it was an intentional murder. So he was intending on murdering. Now, mind you, by the way, here's an important point to keep in mind, and we're gonna come back to this in just a moment. He wasn't intent on killing her. He was intent on killing the other person. She happened to get in the way. So this is what's called haragizeh, in this kavan laharagizeh, the haragizeh. So he was intent on killing the one person, and then by accident he killed another person. Are you a murderer under those circumstances? So hopefully you know, and if not, we're going to remind each other. Machlokas, that's a machlokas. Between the Chachamim and Rebbe, right now we're assuming like the Chachamim, that's an act of murder. Okay, so now, wait, just 1 second. Let me first get through all this, and then afterwards we'll pause. I'll take questions for sure. Let's just set it up. There are a lot of variables. Okay, so number one, we're going to assume that they were intent on killing one another. Good. And now, hechidami, idol asrebe, am I mikdal apshita asrebe. Now, was there a warning issue? Has to be that there was a warning issue. Has to be. Because otherwise, you're not going to put him to death. In other words, the only way you put somebody to death is with a warning. So, of course, there was a warning that was issued. Okay, so, assumption number one, they were exchanging blows looking to kill each other. Assumption number two is that a warning is issued, and that's an easy assumption. Because without a warning, they're not going to be put to death. Now, here comes now, I said two assumptions. How about this? How about a third assumption? And that is, umusul adavar chamer have a musul adavar kal. And now, when you issued a warning, now what's the warning going to sound like? It's very simple. Don't kill him. The Torah says, don't kill. Right? Remember those 10 commandments? Okay, so go to the second column, right? And you don't have to drop down. Just the first one on the second column. Lo sirtach. Don't kill. Okay, so that's a warning that I issued. Now, the Amar Rechman of, I'm sorry, and, well, we have to add one more important point. Umusul adavar chamer have a musul adavar akal. Now, when you said don't kill, so you issued a warning, obviously, not to commit murder. Included in that warning is, by the way, you're not allowed to hit him. Now, I didn't say that. In other words, all I said is don't kill him. But in other words, obviously, I was focusing on the harsher, right? Implicit in don't kill him is don't hit him. Okay, now, that's an assumption, right? We don't know that right now for sure, but let's assume that that's so. So now, what are we looking at over here? So the fight. It's a fight to the death, and there was a warning that was issued, and the warning was for murder, and including that also is don't hit him as well. So now, with all that stated, and again, I know there are a lot of assumptions, and you know what happens every single time, right? Every single time we set something up with assumptions, so the way we're able to poke holes at it is that we just simply take away one or two of the assumptions. But, okay, those are the assumptions set up. Now, and what does the Torah say? That if he doesn't kill her, so now, if he doesn't kill her, now what? And the only thing that happens is injury. Now what? Now the Torah says, I know she has, you pay. But everyone understand? In other words, but you're paying even though the setup over here is that really you are issued a warning not to hit, which means now that you violated the law of Chavala with a warning. So really you're on the hook now for Malchus and for Mammon. You were on the hook for Malchus and Mammon, and the Torah now says, clearly, Anoshi Anesh, which is money. So that is now going to be the proof that is offered that in the case of Chavala, when there's Malchus and Mammon, so you pay Mammon, not Malchus. Okay, that's the proof. Now, that proof is built on assumptions, and again, you know how the Gemara works. The Gemara does this all the time, and that is that if you have a proof that's built on assumptions, we just simply... We challenge the assumptions that were offered. Okay, so number one, I'll just challenge that assumption that when you issued a warning not to kill, so including that is also a warning not to hit. Who said? You said that. Meaning, maybe that's not true.
In Ezekiel, you don't need to asra. When you make a hesed.
No, I understand that, but for the money, you don't need asra. You're right, for the money, you don't need asra. But for Malchus, you do need Asra.
Yeah,
I understand, but we're talking about the Malchus right now.
The Isha.
I understand, by the Isha. So for any of the injury that she suffered in which she's going to get compensation, you're 100% right. We don't need Asra over there. Yeah. But what we're arguing over here is that, yeah, and there's also Malchus. Yeah, but there's only going to be Malchus if there's Asra that's issued. Okay. So number one, so we get to poke and challenge the assumption of, how do you know? How do you know that you issued a warning for the greater, for the death, and including that is also going to be hasra also for not to hit? Who said that? That's number one. And intim salamar have mimai de mimisa chamura. And the Gemara says, and while we're at it, you know what? I'll even give you your assumption. Let's say you're even right. That musul adavar chamur is also musul adavar kal. That included in my warning is going to be for the harsher and for the lighter. So between the death penalty and Malchus, which do you think is the harsher? Now, if we took it to a vote here in this room, so I think we would say that probably execution is the harsher of the two, right? Because execution, you know, you don't come out of the execution. Okay, so right, I think that's fair to argue. Here's what the Gemara is going to attempt to argue. Okay, and I know this is it's going to be fun. So the Gemara is going to try to argue. Well, I don't know. Maybe Malchus is harsher. So the Gemara says Dilma. Okay, right. Dilma, maybe Malchus Chamur. The Gemara says maybe Malchus is harsher. I don't know if somebody's given a choice of do you want to be executed or do you want to be whipped 40 times. Maybe somebody's out there is going to say I'd rather be whipped. I'm sorry, kill me rather than whipping me. But then the Gemara says I know as if that's not. I know that's going to be a little bit difficult to accept. But the Gemara then makes a statement that's even whatever. It's going to take a while for us to wrap my head around it. Talking about me. Okay, the Gemara makes this comment a couple of times throughout Shas, and that's the following. That Chananya, Mishael, v'Azariah. So there were four people who went into Nebuchadnezzar's court. So the most famous is Daniel. But in addition to Daniel, it was also Chananya, Mishael, v'Azariah. And they refused to bow down to idolatry, and so they were taken to the Kivshan Ha'esh. Now they were saved, and it was miraculous, and all this is found in Sefer Daniel. But meanwhile, the Gemara says, you know, that's only because they were facing death. But let's say they weren't facing death. Let's say they were facing torture. So Rav makes the comment, and again, if the Gemara didn't say it, I would never be able to say it. But Rav makes the comment and says that, you know, if they were looking at torture, they would have given in. In other words, they would have for sure bound down to the idolatry if it was idolatry or torture. Oh. So the Gemara is saying that maybe, again, this is an argument. maybe, even if I said Musa L'Davar Chamer, Musa L'Davar Kal, maybe Malkus is more Chamer. Maybe would people would opt into Misa over that of Malkus. In other words, we are, look, on a basic level, I understand. In other words, torture is terrible. And so maybe somebody would opt death over torture. Maybe. So the Gemara says, Amale Rav Samar, Bereid Rav Asi, Rav Ashi, Vamri Le Rav Samar, Bereid Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi. So the Gemara says, okay, we've entertained that point. The Gemara says, I'm not ready to entertain it anymore. In other words, if you're talking about torture that has no end to it, so then maybe. But in other words, when you're talking about Malkus is very finite. We know this, right? You go through the third parak of Malkus, and there it's really clear. Maximum of 39, and most of the time it's not going to be 39. The person goes through a physical to see how much he can handle. You know that you're only going to give a finite number of blows when it comes to Malkus. And don't compare it to torture, and don't compare it to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Even if Rav is right, which in of itself is just an amazing comment, but even if Rav is right, but that's where you're talking about unending torture, and if the person is going to be tortured indefinitely, so then maybe, yeah, so maybe you could break somebody's will like that, and you can. So, and unfortunately, we've seen it time and again. But don't compare it to Malkus. Malkus is not indefinite torture. Malkus is going to be corporal punishment, but really limited and very finite. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'm done entertaining that at least that part of the argument. So Maskev L'Rav Yaakov Minar Pekod L'Hanich L'Rabbanan. Okay, fine. So where are we right now? So we're trying to offer an argument that when it comes to Chavala, and the person is looking at both Malkus and Mammon, you pay Mammon. Why? So again, the argument, which is a constructed argument based on the episode in Mishpatim, where two people are fighting and they hit a woman and they didn't kill her, but they only caused injury. And there the Torah says, Anoshi Anesh. And again, and also built on assumptions that there was a warning issued. But that's a safe assumption, by the way. That has to be, because there has to be a warning issued, because otherwise you're not going to be able to put the man to death. So there was a warning issued, and that warning, which was a warning against murder, also included in the warning on not to hit. So therefore now, if there was only injury and there wasn't death, and the Torah says, Anoshi Anesh, even though he's subject to two punishments, Malkus and Mammon, Anoshi Anesh. Okay, and then a little bit of back and forth in terms of poking holes at the assumptions. Maybe, just like Gemara entertained for a moment, maybe Malkus is worse than Misa. Okay, anyway, but that was the setup. The Gemara says, even with that setup, the Gemara says, you know, not everyone's in agreement with the way you presented the halacha. Meaning, the man was not intent on killing the woman. Or for that matter, the man was not intent on hitting the woman. In other words, he wanted to get the other guy. He was looking to kill the other guy. And the woman stepped in the way. And it's kavan laharogetzeh, vaharogetzeh. So what happens when you kill somebody, but without intention of killing that person, rather another person? So is it wrong? Let's just say it really clearly, beyond wrong. Meaning, we shouldn't, right? That goes without saying. What we're not litigating over here is whether or not it's condoned, not, of course it's wrong. It's usser. But in other words, is that subject to capital punishment? So the way I presented it so far is the sheet of the Chachamim, yes, that's a capital punishment. Rebbe disagrees. Rebbe's of the position that niskaven laharogetzeh vaharogetzeh, you're not going to be subject to capital punishment. Okay, what are you going to be subject to?
Money,
penalty, a monetary penalty. So, and that's the sheet of Rebbe. So your entire argument now is going to fall apart if you subscribe to Rebbe, which is the Gemara's point. So hanich l'Rebbe nadamar nefesh mamish el l'Rebbe damar mamon ma'ika l'meimar. So, but according to Rebbe now, you've basically lost the entire argument, because Rebbe says that nefesh tachas nefesh is not talking about Misa, it's talking about Mammon. And since it's talking about Mammon, does Mammon require warning? No. As we have already said numerous times, money does not require warning. Okay, so, Elam Rav Yaakov Minar Pekod Mishmei Derava Mihacha. Okay, so here we go. Now, another attempt. Again, what we're looking for over here is the source that tells me that in the case of Chavala, where there's Makos and there's Mammon, so you're going to be paying the Mammon, not the Malkus. So it comes from the following. Ima kumvisa alech bechutz hamishan tov v'nika hamakeh. You hit somebody, and you hit somebody with a critical blow, but he doesn't die immediately. So what do? So you wait to see. Did the person survive, or did the person not survive the blow? So im yakum v'yisalech al mishanto. So if, let's say, the guy made a recovery, v'nikamakeh. So now you're no longer a murderer because he didn't die. Obviously, there's a lot to settle over here because injuries galore. So in terms of monetary payment, yes. But in terms of a murder, you're not a murderer. Okay, now. V'chita la'al da'atcha shezeh ma'alach b'shuk v'zeh ne'erag. Now, even the way the Torah phrases it is funny. You know, if he survives, you're not a murderer. Okay, we all would have figured that out. I need a pasuk in the Torah to tell me that if you survived, you're not a murderer. Of course. So, ela malame shechov shenoso. V'imis katlina levi ilo meis shifto yitim v'rapo yirepe. Ah, so it means as follows. Is that when you give somebody a critical blow, and whether or not now you are a murderer will be contingent on whether he survived the blow or didn't survive the blow. So what do we do? Here's what we do. And that is incarceration. Okay. Made this observation numerous times before. I'm not the first one to make this observation. Credit goes to many people before me. And that is that incarceration in the Torah is unbelievably limited. Meaning the penal system of the Torah has incarceration rarely. Really rarely. The closest thing we have to incarceration is near Mikla. That's about it. The only time that we could point to in terms of where the Torah actually incarcerates somebody is a case like this. And by the way, the Torah doesn't even use the word incarceration, meaning it's the Gemara that figures it out. In other words, that person hit somebody. It looked like a critical blow. The person didn't die immediately. Okay, so now what we're going to do is we're going to incarcerate. But only so we're going to hold him because we don't know yet the outcome of what he did. And so if the victim dies, so now this person's a murderer and he's going to stand trial for murder. And if he doesn't die, so then we just have the injuries to look at, and the injuries obviously are going to require compensation. Now hey dummy, and once again, now we know the halachas, now the background, now we get to set it up. So also without a warning. So then you're not going to be put to death. So we're going to insert warning. I mean, there has to be a warning over there. And now, Lepshita, Dasra Bey, Musala Davra Chamer, Musala Davra Kal. And here we go, round two for today. Now, the warning that you issued is don't murder. But included in that, and again, here we have an assumption, included in that warning of don't murder is don't hit him. Okay, so, the Amarech Manashiv Toyitim Verapo Yirape. And now you warned him not to hit, which means now that he's on the hook for, in other words, if the person didn't die. So what are you on the hook for? All the compensation plus makos. Because you hit him and you were warned not to hit him. Now again, the warning was an included warning within don't kill. So maskef l'Rav Ashi mimai demusol adavar chamer avimusol adavar akal. And at this point, I'm going to zoom through this next part because you know it already, which is that you made assumptions. I don't know if your assumptions are right. So first of all, how do I know that there's this thing called included warnings, right? Included this warning is, right? How do you know that? No, that's number one. And number, and Dilma lo have. Vimtim so lomer have me my, demisa chamor, Dilma makos chamor, damer ravel male, nagdala chanani mishava azari pachulit sama. And again, what we're going to argue is that I don't know that Misa is the harsher of the two. Maybe Malchus is the harsher of the two. You know, Chanani, Mishal, Azaria, they for sure would have caved had it been torture. So, Amalei Rav Samar, Breid, Rav Asi, Rav Ashi, V'Amalei Rav Samar, Breid, Rav Ashi, Le Rav Ashi, V'Loshan Lach, Men Akash, Yesh Lakitzva, Lakash, Ein Lokitzva. The Gemara says, come on, please. In other words, we're talking about torture by Chanani, Mishal, Azaria, that's indefinite. And over here, we're talking about Malchus, which is finite. They're not the same. So, Maskavla, Amari, So the Gemara says, okay, but still, I don't know if we're talking about where he intentionally looked to kill somebody. Maybe it was shogeg, meaning, and maybe what are we incarcerating him? We're incarcerating to see whether or not he's going to be subject to ir miklat. Maybe that's what we're looking to do over there, but it's not that we are looking to kill him. And meaning, and what do we gain by saying that? No, there's no warning. Because by shogeg, there is no warning by shogeg. In fact, that's the very definition of shogeg, is that there was no warning that was issued. So Kasha, the Gemara says, okay, you're right. Meaning it's difficult. And after a lengthy attempt in the course of today's daf to come up with a source of Bai Chavala, how do I know that when it's Misan Mamon? Sorry, I take that back. I may immediately edit myself, right? Like we learned today. You have the power to edit. So the in the case of Malkus and Mamon, so how do I know that Bai Chavala, even though Ula and Rav Yochanan, between yesterday's daf, today's daf, are going to be arguing that in Malkus and Mamon, which one is going to be imposed? So Ula will say Mamon, almost always. Rav Yochanan will say Malkus, almost always. So even though they argue about that, but when it comes to Chavala, we're all on the same page. That when Chavala, you hit somebody, and you're subject to both Malkus and Mamon, so you're going to be receiving Mamon, not Malkus. How do I know that? And so what we made today is a valiant attempt to find a source. And we were in a number of places today to try to find a source. V'chi natsuan Hashem, we use that as an attempted source. Imakum v'yisalech b'chutz, we tried to use that as a source. Meaning what exactly is, and yesterday's daf, we went through other sources as well. Okay. The Gemara went through a number of sources, meaning we all know what the conclusion is, right? The easy part about today's daf is you walk away from today, you know that when it comes to Chavala, when you injure somebody, so you pay. Even though there's Malkus, the money is going to go in front of Malkus, not just go in front of Malkus, it'll knock out the Malkus. Why? Mishum Risha Achasatam Echaivo V'yitam Echaivo Shev Rishayis. Because you only get one or two punishments. And in Chavala, it's Mama, not Malkus. You walk out of here, you know that. And that's not only true by Chavala, it's also true by Edim Zomimim as well. That when it comes to Malkus and Mama by Edim Zomimim, it's going to be Mama, not Malkus. Okay, that's what we know. What is the source of that? Okay, so for that, the Gemara really struggled today in terms of finding a source that is irrefutable. We found a number of sources in the course of today's daf, but in other words, the sources are built on assumptions. Those assumptions may be correct. They may not be correct. Okay. So we haven't found an irrefutable proof, but we certainly know what the conclusion is. And where do we conclude today? Also, we concluded on the discussion between Ula and Rav Yochanan, meaning in the case of Malkus and Mamon, outside of Chavala and outside of Einim Zomimim. So what do you do under those circumstances? So it depends who you ask. If you asked Ula, be Mamon. If you asked Rav Yochanan, it would be Malkus. Okay, that goes back to yesterday's daf. And the Gemara did not conclude in terms of which position we accept, but the Gemara concluded on this topic.